Good day, everybody. This is your host, John Shomo, of the College Football Podcast, The Fifth Quarter. We're embarking on episode number 17 this week, which is a review of championship weekend. We had three championship games Friday past and six on Saturday. We'll recap the highlights from those games. We have had the unveiling of the college football playoff brackets. We'll go over those and discuss a little bit about those, what might be controversial about that. I'm not sure a lot's controversial about that, but we'll look at the brackets. And we'll unveil a game that we're going to have set up on ESPN.com. We created an ESPN, Bowl Mania group for the Fifth Quarter Podcast. It's called, very inventively, the Fifth Quarter Podcast Bowl Contest. You can find it on ESPN.com. No money involved, just bragging rights. We did one of these when we started our original podcast, Then and Now, which is still going on, by the way. You can find us on Spotify as well. We did one with the Final Four and the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament back in March. We had a great time with that, and we're going to try to do that again here, wrapping up the college football season. So go to ESPN.com, look for our group, the Fifth Quarter Podcast Bowl Contest, it's called, and make your picks. The bowl games start actually this coming Saturday. So get them in now. Think about them for a couple days, but get them in by Saturday, and we'll have some fun with that over the next few weeks. Now, starting with our recap of championship weekend, three games Friday night. One was the Conference USA championship game. Jacksonville State, coached by Rich Rodriguez, moved on, winning their championship. Will he move on is the question now. Rich Rodriguez is rumored to be interested in his old job in Morgantown, West Virginia. He is a West Virginia native from Glenville, as some of you may know. We'll see what he does, but he had a remarkable season this year. They started 0-3 and were pretty bad. Won eight games in a row, lost on a last-second field goal to Western Kentucky in Week 14, played them again 6 days later, this time at home in Jacksonville, Alabama, and they had a comfortable win in the championship game. So we'll see what Rich Rod decides to do. Also that evening, a game on the blue turf. The blue turf is fading a little bit, if you've noticed. It's not quite as shockingly blue as it used to be. Boise State defeated UNLV in a very physical game. They played two games this year that were among the most physical games I've seen all year. The Broncos won that one 21-7 behind their Heisman Trophy finalist, Ashton Gentry, the running back. They made their case, and they were successful, I believe, because as we look at the brackets for the college football playoff, they got a bye. Boise State has been looking for that. They've been looking for the way in for a number of years. They've been knocking on that door, and now they're in with a bye as the number three seed. So congratulations to Boise State. Good, solid program for a long time now. The third game on Friday night, Army defeated Tulane up at West Point for the championship of the American Athletic Conference. The first year Army has ever been in a football conference, and they win it. They are 11-1. They have their annual game, the biggest game on their calendar, still to come. They will play Navy this coming Saturday in Landover, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., kind of a home game for Navy, if you will, as much as they ever have a home game between one another. All bets are off in that. You can't ever figure out how Army and Navy is going to go. But congratulations to Army and Jeff Munkin. What a job he's done up there. Some of the highlights from Saturday. Here locally, the Mid-American Conference featured Ohio University against the Miami Redhawks. Ohio University housed them 35-3. That's a real surprise that, you know, not that one team or the other won, but that it was lopsided. That's Ohio University's first MAC championship in football since, get this, 1968. They finally got the Holy Grail. And after Coach Tim Albin celebrated on the field with the players and the trophy and everything, by the time the sun went down, he was no longer the Ohio University head coach. He reportedly has taken the coaching job at Charlotte, so he doesn't have to trade in all his green stuff, I guess. But that's kind of surprising, and it's kind of disappointing to me. That he, you know, he didn't even take a weekend to enjoy it before he announced that. I'm sure the players are affected by that, but that's the way it is. So Tim Albin off to Charlotte reportedly, but leaving behind a championship at Ohio University, where he's coached either an assistant or as a head coach for over 20 years. Now, two schools who were in the Pac-12, which is defunct now or sort of defunct, they're rebuilding it for 2026. Arizona State and Oregon both won conference titles in their new conferences on Saturday. Arizona State winning the Big 12 title over Iowa State, and Oregon winning a high-scoring shootout against Penn State in Indianapolis. Marshall, the Thundering Herd, won their third different conference title. They've won conference titles now in three different conferences. That's a record. Marshall coach Charles Huff is probably gone. They had not re-signed him. His contract has basically run out. I don't know why. He's 32-20 there in 4 years, now with a conference championship. They seem to always play tough. The players won their last seven or eight games this year. But he's probably out, reportedly, to coach at Southern Mississippi. That's a lateral move if I ever heard one. If he wants a challenge, he's got one at Southern Miss right now. But Marshall, congratulations to them. They defeated Louisiana on the road at Louisiana to win the Sun Belt title. Now, the Texas-Georgia game, of which I watched much, not all of, my question is, moving forward, Georgia won the game in overtime. They like playing overtimes, the Georgia Bulldogs do here recently. Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, injured his elbow on the last play of the first half, did not return, was holding his arm down at his side. He had to go in for what turned out to be the final play of the game to hand the ball off to a running back to score the winning touchdown in overtime. But as he ran on the field, that right arm was hanging limp at his side. No idea how long that's going to affect Carson Beck moving forward. But that's something to watch here as we go on. Texas fans are kind of calling a little bit for Arch Manning to replace Quinn Ewers, not always known for their patience, Texas fans. I did notice during the game as I watched on and off, Ewers seemed to be throwing off his back foot a lot. That's probably due to some pressure by the Georgia defense, obviously. But I don't know if that's a habit for him or not. I haven't watched him that carefully all season. But he seemed to be throwing off the back foot. And if you've ever played quarterback or thrown a ball like that, that's not really where you want to be mechanically. So we'll watch for that when Texas plays. And we'll get to that here in a couple minutes. In the Big Ten title game, a curious decision, a curious strategic decision by Big Game James, as I like to call him, James Franklin, the Penn State coach. They scored a touchdown with 8 or 9 minutes to go in the game to make it 38-30, Oregon leads. Instead of kicking the extra point to make it a 7-point game, he decided to go for two. I don't know why you do that there. Kick the point, you're 7 points down. They didn't make it, and so it was 38-30. Even if they had gotten a turnover, let's say, and scored a touchdown, they would have had to go for two again to just tie the game. That was a bit curious. That's not as curious as some decisions he's made over the years. But Penn State showed a lot of fight. I'll give them credit. They never quit. They just couldn't stop that Oregon offense. And Oregon walked away as the only undefeated team left in the football bowl subdivision. That's kind of a wrap-up of what we saw over the weekend in the championship games. That set up the long-awaited unveiling just past noon on Sunday, as we record this on Sunday evening, the unveiling of the 12-team, for the first time ever, college football playoff brackets. The top seeds get a bye in the first round. If you follow this sport, you probably already know this already, but we're going to recap it here quickly. Oregon was the one seed. Georgia, champs of the SEC, second seed. Boise State, the Mountain West champs, the third seed. Arizona State, the Big 12 champions, were the four seed. Those four teams get a bye in the first round. The first round games will be December 20th and 21st, coming up this coming weekend. They get a bye into the traditional New Year's Day bowl slots, if you will. Those four teams that were just mentioned, they're going to play one on New Year's Eve and the other three on New Year's Day for the first time. The other eight teams in the order of their seeding are: number 5 seed was Texas. Number 6 seed was the Penn State Nittany Lions. More about that in a second. Number 7 was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The number 8 seed were the Ohio State Buckeyes. Those four teams will host a first-round playoff game the weekend of December 20th and 21st. The game on Friday the 20th will be Notre Dame hosting the Indiana Hoosiers, who were the 10 seed. The games on Saturday, December 21st, in order, will be Southern Methodist, last team in, at Penn State. At 4 o'clock that day, that game's at noon. At 4 o'clock on Saturday the 21st, Texas will host the 12 seed Clemson, who got an automatic bid by being the 5th-ranked conference champion. And Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Ohio State fans have been clamoring for a night game. Well, they got one. Didn't know they would get it on the first day of winter. But the Ohio State Buckeyes, the 8 seed, will host 9 seed Tennessee out of the SEC at Columbus, 8 o'clock Saturday evening, December 21st. Okay? They match up this way. The Clemson-Texas winner will play Arizona State. The Tennessee-Ohio State winner gets Oregon in the Rose Bowl. The Indiana-Notre Dame winner gets Georgia, I think in the Dome in Atlanta. And Southern Methodist Penn State's winner gets Boise State. That's how the brackets work. And then there's your next round games. Overall, my rankings, first of all, I counted up how many each league got. The Big Ten got 4 spots in the 12-team playoff. The SEC got 3. I'm sure they're a little hurt about that down south. The ACC got 2. They got both conference finalists into the playoff, Clemson and SMU. Clemson would not have been in, not even close, had they not won that game on a 56-yard field goal at the buzzer on Saturday night. Big Ten 4, SEC 3, ACC 2, and one team each for the Big 12, for the Mountain West, and the independent Notre Dame Fighting Irish, not in a conference. Penn State, I do think, is overranked at 6. They only have one win over a currently ranked team all season. That was 20th-ranked Illinois. They beat them at Happy Valley midseason. That's it. They lost to the Ohio State Buckeyes at home, as you may recall. But there they are at number 6. I think that's a little bit overrated. I'd have had them at 8 maybe, where Ohio State is. You could move Notre Dame down to 6, put Ohio State at 7, and put, I think, Penn State at 8. But they didn't ask me, so the rankings are what they are, and the brackets are what they are. So that's what we're looking forward to. It won't be long now. Those games take place in just a couple of weeks here, moving forward as we record. The featured games for this coming week, week 16, if you will, there's only one game really that matters. There is a bowl game on December 14th. I'm not looking at the schedule. I forget what it is. I think South Alabama plays in it, maybe against Western Michigan. But the game that matters is the game that's America's game, Army-Navy, as we said, in Landover, Maryland this year. That's the feature game this week. That's the only game we'll pick in our picks, which are coming up henceforth, actually. First of all, reviewing our picks for championship week, we were 30-27-1 going in. As you know, if you're a regular listener, we pick 4 games a week, or we try to. We won't have 4 this week to pick from. We pick 4 games a week. Here are the 4 games that we made picks on last week. We had Boise State, 4.5-point favorites at home against UNLV. We took the Broncos. They won by 14. That's a win for us. We had Jacksonville State at home playing Western Kentucky. Jacksonville State, a 2.5-point favorite. They won that game comfortably. Thank you. That's a win. We took Clemson, 1.5-point underdogs against Southern Methodist. The 56-yard buzzer-beating, if you will, field goal gets Clemson the win and the cover, and we won that one. And last but not least, in the Big Ten, we picked Oregon to win by more than 3.5 against Penn State. They won by 8. That's a win. A 4-0 week. What do you know? That makes us 34 wins, 27 losses, and 1 tie over the course of the season. Pretty good. I'm proud of that. We'll try to pick 4 games a week moving forward in the playoffs and in the bowls. There's only one game this coming week, so we'll make a pick here. I looked up the line this morning on Army Navy. Navy is a 4.5-point underdog against Army at Landover. Navy's having a very good season, by the way, in case you haven't paid attention. Army's gotten a lot of the attention, and deservedly so. They are champs of the American Conference. But Navy's kind of sneaking around there. They're pretty good this year. I think 8-3. I'm not looking at it. I just got to tell you, my father served in the U.S. Navy in World War II in the South Pacific. And if he were still here, he would berate me if I didn't pick Navy in this game. So I kind of feel like he's hovering over me here as we make the pick. We're going to take the 4.5-point underdog midshipman to get the win in the big game this coming Saturday. Got to do it, right, Dad? Okay. That is it. We don't have a lot more going on than that, but that's a lot. The championship game review, the preview of the brackets, etc. There's going to be endless talk about that moving forward for the next week or two. We'll see where we land here in a week when we record again. We'll probably wait until midweek, the week of the first playoff games, before we record our next episode. Repeating what we talked about at the start, we've set up a group game, if you will, on ESPN.com for picking all of the bowl games. It's an ESPN Bowl Mania. You can get that on their website, ESPN.com. It's called the Fifth Quarter Podcast Bowl Contest. That's kind of simple, I guess, really. And there's no password needed. You can go on there, join the group, and make your picks and have some fun. Hopefully we get some responses. We had a nice time early on in the podcast then and now. We set up that March Madness pool, and we had about a dozen people. The podcast was just getting started, but it was fun to follow that and fun to take part. So get in there, join, again, on ESPN Bowl Mania, the Fifth Quarter Podcast Bowl Contest on ESPN.com. And let's have some fun with all of this, shall we? That'll be it for this week. Thanks for tuning us in, as always. The Fifth Quarter will be back midweek prior to the playoff games, which start on December. I got the right month here. On December 20th, we'll probably go Wednesday or Thursday before that game with our next podcast. So get in there, join our contest, have fun, be good. Thanks for listening. This is your host, John Shomo of the Fifth Quarter. Have a great week, everybody.